Actually in Oklahoma. Okay. It is a pleasure to be here. It's an honor. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna start my own timer here just because I'm controlling with that. Yeah, no, it is. It's always a pleasure, and it's an honor to be Jason's 10-minute speaker, especially because Jason has known me for 14 years in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And happy birthday to the gentleman who just spoke. And thank you for sharing from the heart. And it is not easy at all to come back. And to everyone that took chips, yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. So really quick, just a little bit of context. I had my first drink when I was 14, and I thought I found the keys to the kingdom. And if you relate with that, I'm sorry, but you probably belong here. And I just, you know, by 17 years old, I was a daily maintenance blackout drinker. I was in my first treatment center, and I found the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And a few months later, I did actually get sober for the first time, 17 years old, back in Oregon, where I'm from. Stayed sober for a few years, and you know, I did the best that I could. But what I did was try to make up for lost time, right? I thought I wasn't, I had messed some stuff up in my life, as I'm sure you can imagine. There's only so much you can mess up when you're 17, but you know, varsity soccer, things like that, right? And so you know, I was an honor roll student, and I definitely wasn't when I went to treatment, right? Anyway, so I became a human doing. I had a couple of jobs. Had a boyfriend in the rooms that was very dry. Was not a great person, and you know, I made him my higher power, and I failed to perfect and enlarge my spiritual life. Really, it's really that simple. And I was not able to meet the certain trials and low spots that the book says that we will absolutely have, right? And so, I'm nervous, guys. Bear with me, but here's the. But I drank again, right? And I drank right before my 21st birthday, and I didn't know where to go. I didn't have anyone to talk to. I was alone. And I just spent a couple of months without going to a meeting, and I got away from you guys just long enough for the disease to creep back in. And I remember I was at my mom's house on my lunch hour because that's the best time to take a drink, right? And you know, I found like myself having an outer body of experience. It was just like I was reaching for the liquor cabinet. I took a swig and I went to the front door to go back to work. And I remember putting my hand on the doorknob and then turning back around and finishing the bottle, you know. And I was off, and it was bad. It was real bad. By the time I met Jason at 23 years old, so him and his wife are like my godparents in AA. Like God didn't. I was not equipped with the parents that were ready for what I was about. And so I walked into a meeting after a DUI when I was 23, and met Jason and Julie and all of that crew there. And I was like, thank you for the information. And then I signed my court card off for the rest of the required meetings, right? And then a couple of months later, I came back at the jumping off point, right? But some of you may, sorry, I'd rather just stand up straight, but it's me for short. Anyways, oh, there we go. But we can stay at the jumping off point for a really long time, right? Like I remember in Bill's story, it says like the mind and body are magnificent mechanisms because mine endured this for another 2 years, and that's what it was like. But for me, it was seven. I came into those rooms and I got a phoneless commitment, and I came wasted. I couldn't stop drinking. They would have to clean the empties out of my car and take me to treatment. I wouldn't eat for days at a time. I'd go missing. Like I really wanted to be done. I really didn't want to drink anymore, but I just could not. I just could not. And finally, in 2017, I moved here. I went to the Puente House. Some of you may have heard of it, West Covina, 502 Club. They think they're the sobriety capital of the world. I'm not here to argue with them. I've ceased fighting. Anyway, I got sober there. I got sober. You know, I really got sober. And I told God, well, here's what I told myself. I said, I'll do this for a year, and if it doesn't work, I'll go ahead and kill myself, because that felt like I got an out. Either it's gonna work or I'll just check out, you know. And yeah, it works. You know, I decided that I was going to do it your way, not my way. And that I was going to find this power that you guys have been talking about that had been very jaded for me growing up in private Catholic school. My mom was a born again Christian. She taught shame and not love, you know? And when I found alcohol, there's a journal entry that I have. I found from when I was 15 that says, as long as I had alcohol, it says a myriad of things, but one of the things it said is, as long as I had alcohol, I'm going to be okay. And that was my relationship with alcohol. I just really thought that I could do life now. So anyway, I did get sober, and you know, I this time, so I got into a relationship right away. And this time when we broke up, I did not get drunk, you know? And I had something that carried me through. And, you know, that gentleman actually that I dated in my first year of sobriety, I mean, we kind of grew up together, right? He passed away last year of a fentanyl overdose. And I knew when he passed away that I did everything that I could. Tough love. And that is why we didn't work out, because he did not like that. And yeah, but I had made things right between him and I before he passed. And there was that. And then, you know, during COVID, I had a meeting at my house that grew so big that we had to move it downstairs to the commercial area that was not being used. We had 50 plus people, I had strangers there, you know. And I remember that, like, people would leave my house and I would feel overwhelmed with awe and gratitude and humility for the way in which God would use me when I was sober. And like the ripple effect that you have when you, when you try to align your will with God's, right? And the magic that is, and if you know what it is, you know what it is. And if you don't, I hope you stay and I hope you find it again. But anyway, when I moved out here to Orange County a couple years ago, about 2.5 years ago now, I didn't get plugged in. One more time, I thought, it won't happen this time. This time, I'm okay. I got God. I'm good. And I drank again, you know. And for the past year and a half, a lot of you know me from the rooms, it's been such a struggle. Like, not nearly as bad as it was in the past, because everything, and Jason says this a lot, everything that I have in this life is that is of value or of any, that is any good or has any value is from these rooms. And I have a lot of good stuff going on, and you guys have kept me afloat. But drinking every couple of weeks or drinking every month, you know, and not just quite being able to let go, because those two times I had the amount of drinks I set out to have and didn't, you know, had some control, but the two times in my 30 years of drinking, I really held on to that. So not 30, like 26. But I'm serious, you guys, like that hell of just wanting to be finished, but just trying the old game one more time. I only have a couple minutes left here, but, you know, you don't know how much impact you're going to make on someone's life when you greet them. When you are comfortable at a group after a month or two and you see someone coming behind you that isn't comfortable. You know, if Jason and Julie hadn't welcomed me that day when I came in for my court card to get signed, maybe I never would have come back. I probably would have liked that, because they would have spent a lot less time in courts and jails tracking me down. But just kidding, we're here today. But it's extremely important to give this story and to be the hand. You don't know how that's going to change someone's life. And I will say just today that my, you know, 40, I have 41 days today. Yeah. I told my mom, can I get like a little cake? It's been a year and a half. Serious, you know, and I just never want to do this again. I was sitting in the meeting the other day, and a couple of times in these past 41 days, like, I just cried out of gratitude, because I feel like one more time, I'm like, there's hope. Like, maybe I don't have to die of this. Maybe I don't have to go to prison for my fourth DUI. Like, maybe I can do this. And I just have to hold on. And what it is a perfect storm, like the movie Twister, right? It's a perfect storm between God's grace and me finally showing up with all of my surrender. in every, not just in my actions, but in my feelings and thoughts, when something rises up inside me that says, you don't need to go to that meeting, or those people are like this, or they're thinking this, I go, and I need to concede my will to God one more time. And the biggest thing that I think I missed was that people who stay here and have years, decades of sobriety, they don't leave. They don't do what I do and try to, I'll take it from here, guys. You know, they don't do that. They have real humility, right? And I had only thought that that's what I had been. So today I just am trying to do that. Really glad I can sit down now. And so it's-
Thank you.